One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books with Zivi. I'm the host, Zivi Owens. I am an author. My latest is blank, pub date March 1st, a novel. I'm also a podcaster, obviously, a publisher, a bookstore owner, and so much more. If you love books, you're in the right place. In fact, we call it the Ziviverse, or really, the LA Times called it the Ziviverse, and we're going with it. Go to ZiviOwens.com to learn more and follow me on Instagram at Zivi Owens. Bess Kalb is the author of Buffalo Fluffalo. Bess is an Emmy-nominated comedy writer and the best-selling author of Nobody Will Tell You This But Me, a New York Times Editor's Choice. She wrote for 8 years on Jimmy Kimmel Live and has written for the Emmy Awards, the Academy Awards, and the 2020 Democratic National Convention. She is the head writer and executive producer of the WGA award-nominated Yearly Departed, an Amazon comedy special, and is currently adapting Nobody Will Tell You This But Me into a feature film with Sight Unseen Pictures. She lives with her husband and two boys in Brooklyn. This is her debut picture book. Find her online, BessKalb.com. Welcome, Bess. Thanks for coming back on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books, this time to discuss Buffalo Fluffalo.
Thank you so much, Zibby. Thank you for fitting me in. Thank you for having me. It is such a delight. Now I feel like I have released a book. I'm on your podcast, and so it's real.
This is it. You know, without this, I mean, is it even a book? I mean, I don't know.
No. I don't think they say the publication date is the day that you come on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books.
Oh, so funny. Okay, you have 8 million things going on. Why a children's book? Why this children's book? Where did you come up with Buffalo Fluffalo? Tell me the whole story. When did this even originate? All of it.
So my whole job, if you ask my oldest son, is making him laugh.
Okay.
And he's not an easy laugh. I have a kid who you really have to work for the reaction. It's mm-hmm. He's not an easy audience, which is a nightmare as a comedy writer and a mother. and when he was about 18 months old, my husband got him a book to like indoctrinate him about national parks to eventually take him camping. And there was like beautiful vistas. And on one page, it was like, and here's the buffalo. And I was reading it to him, trying to, you know, be in the agenda with him. And I was like, here's a buffalo. And he looked at me and it was a silly word. And I just sort of went with it. And I said, a buffalo fluffalo. And he lost his mind laughing. It just, for whatever reason, was a silly turn of phrase that the word buffalo feels made up. And Buffalo Fluffalo just took it over the edge. And I was like, okay, I have hit a child's funny bone that is not a very sensitive funny bone. And so maybe there's something to this. And I also, I'm holding up the book now, but there's this sort of surly face that he's making. And that was based on a picture of my kid making that exact face. There's nobody more serious than the 2-year-old version of my child. And when he was snarly and gnarly and gruff, he really felt it. And as the mom of two boys now, I know how that feeling of, I need to act tough. I need to act strong. I need to sort of project this invulnerability. I know how big that is. And I wanted to write a book for him that A, made him laugh, and B, made him realize he doesn't have to act tough. And it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to feel how you feel. You can be angry. You can be sad. You can feel upset. But know that when you treat people with kindness and when you let your guard down, the people who love you will love you anyway. So, you know, it came from wanting to give my son something that sort of hit all of his buttons, made him happy, made him feel okay.
And that he was a Nuffalo.
And that he was a Nuffalo, and he really is. Yeah. And I honestly, like, I know you have four kids of your own. You have a couple of sons. When I found out I was pregnant with a boy, so many people got me books that were like Little Feminist or like Eleanor Roosevelt, a picture biography, which, great, important, all of them. And like, we have them. They're on both of my kids' shelves. But there wasn't something that was written specifically to resonate with him and to let him know that this is not a book that is pedantic or has an agenda, but the secret agenda that is very pedantic is dismantling toxic masculinity from the inside.
Mm.
And it's really a way to sort of say, I know how the world is telling you need to act and you need to feel, but sometimes just being the most radical act of empathy is just being a good person and being kind to the people around you. And yeah, I mean, I want to raise a good human, and I wrote a book to sort of help to do that.
Well, I'm surprised your publisher did not put the subtitle Dismantling Toxic Masculinity on the cover.
But here's the thing. All of my child editors for this book, and there was a lot of child labor that went into this book. All of my friends' kids were editors and test subjects so many times. But most of my editors were little girls. And I wrote this I have a very, very serious, I'm Jewish, we don't really have goddaughters, but she's my best friend's daughter. I'm Auntie Bess to her. And I wrote it for, you know, my Jewish goddaughter to make her laugh and help her understand that, you know, being tough and feeling and acting tough is definitely not something that is just belonging to one gender.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly acted like this as a child. My son is in many ways more of a reflection of me than anybody else. And so I wrote it for her, and I wrote it for the girls who helped edit it for comedy and for relatability and for coziness. And I wrote it for all kids to hopefully reflect their feelings back to them in a way that felt real and relatable.
I love it. Sometimes the funny is the best way in, right?
You totally.
Captive audience.
Yes.
So where do you think the whole I want to make people laugh thing comes from in and of itself, right? Because this pervades a lot of your work.
I forgot. Every time I talk to you, it's therapy. You know, I am the kid of two very serious people. My dad worked all the time in a very high-stakes situation and dealt with a lot of real sadness as part of his job. My dad ran the intensive care unit at Mount Sinai Hospital, where there are 13 beds who are all trying to die. And so every day he would come home with this sort of look on his face, this sort of thousand-yard stare. I now realize what it is. And every day he would read books to me. And he would lose himself in characters and voices. My dad is the funniest person I know, and this book is partially dedicated to him. My dad is a fabulous doctor, and he's also an amazing nanny. And I grew up as his kid, seeing somebody who dealt with so much horror and sadness. He would read me children's books like The Stinky Cheese Man, and there was a book, Hey, Willie, See the Pyramids by Myra Kalman.
Mm-hmm.
And books that were so funny and so great. And he did voices for everybody. And I remember thinking, oh, well, we can go into this comedy world where everything is fine and we're having a great time and sort of bond over children's books. In my world, they were just books. But it sort of set me up for, like, this being my destiny, where I would finally write one that he could read to my kids. And we spoke about my last book. It was a book about grief, but it also leaned into comedy because I believe that dealing with serious subjects is something that, like, I find it's most effective to deal with serious subjects when you balance the humor inherent to life, especially in the most dramatic moments, with the serious, without, you know, deflecting or covering up from what needs to be said. But I think the two go hand in hand all the time, whether it's a children's book or an adult book.
Yes. And then I feel like people feel guilty about it, but you have to find the humor. Otherwise, how do you get through? I don't know. If there's no offsetting, it's just the darkness.
Totally.
Like your podcast studio here.
Oh my God. I mean, this is a real... I feel like I'm truly speaking to you from like the back of a van.
I know.
It really is the kind of thing that... There are so many books that I read my kids, and I am a fan of children's books. Like, I get really into them, and I look forward to story time every night with my kids. But there are some that I'm like, ah, this was written with an agenda or with a mission. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a little bit hitting everybody over the head. And then some that I remember from my childhood that I'm like, oh, this one is so lovely. It's about giving. I'm like, well, this tree needed boundaries. I will be editing as I read.
Yeah.
And she was like, you have my permission to take my branches.
But this is what it's like to be in a relationship with a narcissist.
Totally, totally. Who will not change.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, tree, for teaching us these
lessons.
Thank you,
tree, for teaching us that. Totally. There's wisdom in a lesson, and even the ones that you feel like you have not stood the test of time. But truly, I was trying to write one that got the message across, but in a way that made kids excited to read it and made parents laugh.
Yeah. Well, we all need laughter, especially totally. In these dark times. And
these horrifying times.
You've been so great about the things you've posted, which also have a mix of humor and horror regularly. So
yes.
I really appreciate from the beginning, you've been just so regular in the way you craft your notes. It's like little essays all the time, little vignettes, and it's amazing. Anyway.
Thank you. You know, I think there is something, especially in the past few months for comedy, where I've found that, you know, even in this horrible, dark time in the world, there are moments that, without minimizing suffering, there are ways to remember how connected we are through comedy. And there is sort of a shared language and a shared understanding through comedy that I think brings us together.
Absolutely.
It can feel very healing as well for a comedy writer just to write it. So I'm glad it's resonated. It's helpful for me.
Yes.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Sometimes we all have stuff we need to get off our chests. Even if we don't think it's interfering with our daily life, there are some things you just haven't processed, be it grief or trauma, eating disorders, anything. It might be time to work on those things, and I have a solution for you. Therapy. Online therapy by BetterHelp. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. I took the brief questionnaire online where there were, I don't know, 20 questions. It didn't take long at all, maybe 3 minutes. And then I got matched with a therapist who could help me work on whatever. I picked trauma because even though it happened in 2001, I am somehow still not over the loss of my friend on 9/11. And it is what it is. BetterHelp is going to help. And I am so excited, especially because with my special code, instead of $80 a month, it is 10% off, $72 a month, which is so much less than traditional therapy. And you'll get a perfect therapist for you. There are 35,000 therapists to choose from, so you'll find the right one. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/momsdonthavetime today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/momsdonthavetime. And I saw that since we talked last time, your book is being adapted for film. That is so fun.
Yes.
Tell me all about it.
That is so exciting. That is what I am working on upstairs. Nobody will tell you this but me, is my adult book. And there is a brilliant director, Elizabeth Chomko, attached to it, and a great production company, Sight Unseen Pictures. And, you know, we sort of survived the writer's strike and now are back to bringing my grandma Bobby to the screen, which is sort of where she's always belonged.
Aww. And are you adapting it yourself?
With Elizabeth.
With Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a brilliant writer. And so now
I thought you said she was a director. Sorry, I thought
she's,
you said
Oh, she's both. She's a director and co-writer of it.
Got it.
And I'm going through and doing a dialogue pass right now, which is living with my grandma in my head again. And it's surprisingly, I mean, talking about like writing cathartically, it really has been, in a way that the book was very like crying at my desk, a labor of deep emotion and like unearthing grief and being connected to my family. This feels like so much lighter, even though it goes to exactly the same places of grief that the book goes. For whatever reason, like hearing her voice being just in the dialogue makes it so much funnier. I feel like it's a much funnier movie than the book was a funny book.
Wow. I mean, it was a funny book, though.
Yeah. I'm glad. I mean, I think my experience is just different. I cried a lot writing the book, and I am laughing a lot writing the movie.
Okay. All right. Well, excellent.
Yeah.
I'm trying to even think of which grandmother of mine would most want to have a movie written about her, but I feel like it might be a tie.
Oh, what grandmother doesn't?
Yeah.
I mean, I also am really thinking about my grandma's mom, my great-grandmother, who was always at the movies. She was somebody who, like, where she lived in Brooklyn in the turn of the century, the coldest place you could go on a hot day was the movie theater. And so she would pay a nickel and sit there all day and see every movie. And so she became the cinephile, basically out of, like, a poverty need to be in the Freon air. She was always at the movies. She became obsessed with them. And so this really does feel like a fitting tribute to her. Like, now she'll be on film.
Wow. Is there, like, another book in the children's book thing? Are you going to rhyme two more things? Sheep. I can't even think of anything funny. That's not funny. That's the worst. That's literally I could actually think of, especially because there are 8 million books about sheep. But anyway, maybe some other.
But you've written children's books. You are also like a pioneer in this space.
Oh,
Princess
hardly
Charming.
I would not call it a pioneer. No, but I feel like you could just go down this whole like rhyming animal thing. No?
Totally. I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed. I think I'm allowed. It hasn't been announced yet.
All right. You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. So even before Buffalo Fluffalo came out, I sold the sequel. So there is another Buffalo Fluffalo story. Doesn't end.
Amazing.
At the end of this, when he's getting hugged and kissed. There is a book based on my second son that's coming out that involves another little person who enters Buffalo Fluffalo's life. Again, written out of necessity to explain to my oldest child what was happening when I got pregnant again.
I'm having this flash forward of you, like, getting your kids ready for college. And you're like, here's this about,
really what this
peer pressure and managing your finances, Buffalo Fluffalo.
Exactly. I'm like, what predatory loans are?
Yes.
Yeah, Buffalo Fluffalo and going to health services.
Yes.
I am really writing these books because I cannot parent. I need to have a cartoon buffalo do it for me.
Yes. Good. Totally normal and healthy. Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on. Oh my gosh. And tell me about your other, your Amazon TV series that you're working on too. Like all these different things. Tell me about that.
You know, when I have to like write on children's applications or forms or anything, like mother's job, it's just sort of like, I'm sure you go through this.
Yeah.
It's like writer, which sounds made up, but I like to write stories that I kind of do in one burst of inspiration where it kind of has to come out, and this is exactly what I should be writing. And so that's taken a few different forms. There is the adult book, there's this, there was a comedy special on Amazon, now there's other TV shows that I'm working on, but they all sort of center around similar themes, which is like a little serious with the comedy, and there is a message, and I feel very lucky to have worked in both TV and book writing, and I hope to keep doing that and to never really wear one hat. It just depends on how the story is supposed to be told and who will commission me to write it. So I think I feel most true to myself when I'm being an author. And it's something that I've spoken about before, but TV always feels like someone else's world. But the act, the like solitary act of sitting down and writing something and it exists just between you and your screen or your notebook, like that to me feels like the purest form of writing without studio notes.
But, you know, the price you pay for that is that you have to wait like 2 years for it to come out.
Yeah, it's glacial. But I love it. And I love being a children's book author now. I loved working with an illustrator. That was so great.
Yes, and I saw your illustrator is known for her woodworking, right?
She's brilliant. She's so talented. She's a woodblock artist, so she carved these pictures. So she like, there's a template in my son's room. I have the like original etching of Buffalo Fluffalo, which was the first place that we see him, which is this sort of angry buffalo is carved out of wood and then scanned into her computer. And so she's able to modify him for all the other pages. But Erin Cron is a Canadian illustrator. I was lucky the publisher set me up with her, and she's captured both the silliness and the whimsy, but also the real emotion on everybody's faces. And she also really just depicts the natural world in this very lush and just this very picturesque, beautiful way that it feels like I want to frame lots of these pages just for the art and just for like the background work. So
I'm getting a vision of your son's rooms now.
Totally. Like,
Buffalo Fluffalo wallpaper, you know?
My poor kid. He's like, this is my third favorite book behind two about it, like trucks. I can't win.
Do you have like a tour coming for the children's book? Where are you going? What are you excited to do?
So my whole tour was canceled for nobody will tell you this but me. My book was released March 17th, 2020. And so everything collapsed. No tour, no anything. And so this is my first ever book tour, and I'm reading to 4 and 5 year olds. And it has been delightful. I could not ask for better audiences. For now, I'm in New York, and then in February, I'm going to Connecticut, New Jersey, and then we're probably going to Boston and D.C., and then hopefully L.A., and I'm so excited about it. It really is just, I think it's the best live feedback I can get as a writer. It's the best editorial staff I could have, or like the children in the audience, because you see immediately what hits. You see when people start to zone out and fidget, and you just become much more clued into what a readership wants out of you. Kids have, you know, for better or for worse, no filter, and it's a really amazing book tour audience to have.
I felt like when I was doing some events for my children's book, I was like, it was just very humbling because they would just get up and walk away in the middle. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, wait, yeah. I'm literally like, I can't even get you to listen for 5 minutes. You know?
I mean, I come from a comedy writing world, so I have dealt with so many meaner situations than that. At least this isn't out of ego or something. This is just like a pure, like, you know what? Something's over there that reminds me of my dog. And like, I can deal with that. So, I mean, I'm shocked by the questions that I get. I don't know if you had this, like the unvarnished, I'm sure it's what like my son's preschool teacher deals with all day. But like, I did a Q&A recently at PS 183, which was an amazing school. And I was really happy to go there. And these kids were so smart. And I had a little girl ask me, she was like, well, why is he angry? And I was like, oh, you know, I think he feels like he has to act tough because he doesn't want to show people his true feelings. And she was like, she was not satisfied. She was like, but why was he acting mean when he was angry? And it got into this like philosophical conversation that ended in me being like, and when he realizes he needs to be kind, he gets kindness in return. And when you put kindness into the world, you get kindness back. And she was like, but that's not kind, to be kind just so people are kind to you. And I was like, no, you're fully right. I'm like, I know. I'm like, it's more about like setting an intention and like it should be genuine. But it really, like, I'm getting grilled by these kids.
Yeah.
And it is so refreshing and great. And I love it.
You're like, I'm just putting out some good karma, okay? Let me just put it out.
Yeah, I'm just putting out some good karma, please. She's like, who was that lady who cried who came to our school? I try to have real conversations with the students or the kids who are at the bookstores. And like, sometimes when I ask a very open-ended question, like, did anybody feel angry today? And everyone raises their hand. And then they go around the room and they're saying things that really, as a mother, I feel very touched by. Like, a little boy was like, I feel angry when I feel like nobody's listening to me.
Mm.
And I was like, I totally relate to that. I feel angry when I feel like no one's listening to me. And it was just like, these are small people with huge emotions. And I feel so lucky to be able to, like, hear them, be able to take them seriously. And I go back to my own kids and I sort of like carry the weight of and the wisdom of all of the kids that I've been around on this book tour, and hope it makes me a better mom.
Wow. Well, I love that. It's really awesome. And I feel like you should just keep a notebook of the funny things that the other kids say.
Totally.
On the tour.
I mean, the biggest tangent was like, I think I just have to like write a note when I go places, which is like, don't bring up pets. Everybody has a pet and everyone has a 20-minute story about their pet, and there's 100 kids and we don't have time.
Yeah. Pets have to wait outside. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Bess, thank you so much for coming back on the show and for the book and all of it. So exciting. I'm just like so rooting for you and everything that you're doing. It's really great.
Thank you, Zibi. I'm so grateful for you. You've been a champion of all of my books, and this is one that's so close to my heart. I really genuinely want to hand it out wherever I go, and I'm glad that it's getting into so many people's hands. It makes me feel very validated as a mother of a buffalo fluffalo myself.
As well it should.
Yes. Thank you, Zibi.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibi Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also, sign up for my newsletter at ZibiOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.